A swift motion of blue is all I've seen. Left scattered through under my
Hey, welcome skin. To Leafs FM. This week I'm joined by one of my favorite Chicago bands, Forest Home. So we got Elaine, Andy, Eric, Kevin, which is the most amount of people I've ever had on this show at once. So this will be a train wreck or a beautiful thing. I'm excited either way. So this band started out, what, 3 years ago, maybe?
It will be 3 years in April.
Going on 3 years. Yeah. They're the artist formerly known as is, and they figured that name was not as is, that they want to change that as was, R.I.P. And so this last year they had a rebranding effort and finally changed their Facebook name to Forest Home, and that's when you know it's official, guys. They are a super eclectic mix of alternative, like math rocky kind of, but then they've got some nice folky flair at points. Just really great four-piece rock band, and I'm so excited to have them here on the show. Good friends of mine as well. So welcome to the show, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you
for having us.
Great. Absolutely. So let's first talk about the new album, because we want to like just set the tone here. This has been a long time coming. What is the album called, and who's going to be the official person to talk about this? Because then
I'll take that.
Right. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah.
Band leader Kevin.
Yeah, sure.
You have the floor.
So our new album is called Wastement. It's out March 24th, our release show, and it has been a long time coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, unfortunately, like a year in production, because we did it all ourselves in our parents' basement, the old-fashioned way.
Hell yeah.
And it took that long because it involved sort of learning how to make a record in your parents' basement.
Right.
As we were going.
Which is the ideal situation.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, learning as you're doing it.
So,
yeah.
So when we're talking about an album taking a year to make, does that include the writing of the album?
No.
Okay. Yeah. So this is purely production.
Yes.
That's impressive. How did you break that down? I'm just honestly curious. Like, were you like the first 2 months you worked on one song, or did you kind of like, is it recording a bunch of things and then just doing it over and over, like demos, and then
sort of option B? I mean, it's sort of, we tried to get like basic recordings of every song that we knew we wanted to be on this record done first.
Mm-hmm.
So we had like scratch tracks to record other parts over. But we kind of, not only were we learning as we were doing it, we were also just kind of planning it as we were doing it.
Because
like we added a song to it halfway through. It was originally going to be an EP.
Yeah.
And now it's a full length album.
Yeah.
So
nine songs.
Four songs. So yeah.
That's great. Could be like two EPs, but
I know.
But it's you're probably just like ready to get it out of the world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And okay, so I have a quick poll. Do you guys listen to it every day?
Andy does.
Almost. I don't know. I listen to it a lot.
Yeah. And how, like, on what, just on your phone? Do you have like the files, Google Drive or something? Or,
well, yeah, private? Kevin's got it all like on Google Drive, but I don't know, I just kind of like on my drive to work, like we were talking about my long commute, I don't know, but like on my drive to work, like throughout the whole like process of recording it, I just like was listening to like the updates that Kevin would make to it. I don't know, it's fun to just...
How did it feel? Was it ever, I mean, it drives me insane to listen back to this current thing, like, because this is like every week, you know, it's like an hour, so I rarely do, which is questionable. My mom's always kind of like, you should go back and edit some of them. But was it kind of cringy at points? Is it like, ugh? Or was it okay because it's like, oh, this is not being released on Friday, this is it, like whenever it happens.
Yeah,
we've got so much time. So it was just like you had to do all those rounds of edits, kind of.
Yeah, it was more like that. I don't know, because we didn't have like a strict like plan of when are we gonna have this come out.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of just were like doing it on our own, like,
totally,
terms.
Yeah,
but I don't know, like I would definitely over listen to it sometimes though.
Yeah.
And be like, I hate every song on this, like
why do I even play music.
But yeah, I don't know, it's...
Did you sing along though on good days?
Yeah, for sure.
Like on bad days, all days.
Right?
That's how we wrote all the harmonies,
okay,
with this,
yeah,
like, whole record.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's awesome. Funny. Wow. I don't... That's, yeah, I mean, like, and that's a good thing to be able to, you know that you verifiably like it over and over again.
Yeah.
I mean, and it probably changes, like, I don't know, in your brain, like the memories of the songs that, and did you all kind of write songs on this album?
Yeah, it's split up like pretty evenly.
Sweet.
I feel like.
Elaine, you're shaking your head.
No, I didn't.
But talk to us about that. I sent some hesitation.
I didn't write any songs.
That's not true. You wrote the melody and words to Above Me.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I was jumping to your defense.
Thanks, Kev.
You're the only girl in this band. Let's talk about that for 1 second.
Okay.
How's that feel?
It felt hard at first.
Did it?
But these guys are great.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
They're great guys. Why was it hard, though?
I don't know. Just like my whole life, people don't respect me as a musician, so...
Get into the microphone and tell
people
me.
People didn't respect me as a musician,
yeah.
So I was, like, scared.
Mm-hmm, totally.
So, I don't know. I had to deal with it for, like, maybe 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I don't know.
Speaking up and...
Yeah, people are weird at shows sometimes.
Oh, yeah?
They say, like, creepy things or something.
Yeah. Okay, well, you're amazing, and you're the bassist and one of the vocalists. You guys all sing, which is pretty cool and rare in bands. So let's get into the influences, because time's a wastin', and I want to hear what you guys have to say, because this is kind of cool. It's my first time having more than one or two people from a project, and so now we're going to kind of get, like, if you're imagining like a braid that uses five things to braid it, we're getting five different segments of hair. That's kind of creepy. So let's start with you, Elaine, since we were just talking about bass playing and all that. Is there like a bassist that you picked, or what was your, or did you pick something for the sound or for the lyrics? What was your angle here?
I picked Fourth Wanderers for like the songwriting and the singing.
So tell me who they are.
I don't know. There were a bunch of teenagers. I think they might be 20.
Okay.
They're from...
The Northeast someplace?
I think they're
Jersey.
From where Pine Grove is.
Okay. sounds
yeah,
good.
Yeah, and they, like, made all their music in high school, but I think...
But what's the kind of sound of the Fourth Wanderers? Are they
Someone
punky? Are they...
Please help me.
They're sort of... They got, like... sort of slackery indie rock vibe, but it's hard to sort of put into words. Like, they, I don't know, maybe that's a decent representation. I don't know.
It's just like really like sad, but it's also like it's like
happy,
mediocre.
Okay.
No, that's not the word.
Melancholy.
It's like really average.
I just don't really like good music, you know, so I thought I'd talk about someone just kind
no,
of okay.
No, they're amazing.
Good. Oh, that's awesome. And have you seen them before?
No, I don't know why I didn't see them when they came to Sub D.
Why are you picking them as like your influence? Because you have like such a vast musical background. So you started playing and singing when you were like two, I don't know, four?
I don't know. I always sang.
Yeah. And like, why?
I don't know. I just always have. I love singing.
Yeah, totally. And you're really good at it.
Thanks, you too.
Stop. Let's do a duet sometime.
Yeah,
I'm
right now.
Putting that on the record. Okay, right now. What do we do? A little first aid kit.
The ABCs.
The ABCs. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to stick on the melody.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. D.
Slam dunk.
H-I.
J.
J. Did you say H-A?
I said J. You got the other letters.
J-K.
L-M-N-O-P.
Q. Q. How do you... Am I saying
Q,
twinkle, twinkle?
It goes Q-R-S.
Okay.
T-U-V.
M-Q-A-L-R-P.
R-O-T. And this leads us to our first sponsor. Really excited to say that we are sponsored today by Argo Tea. I found some teas of theirs in the closet down the hall. And thank you so much, Argo, for believing in me.
They're expired.
That explains a lot. I was feeling kind of weird. Elaine, let's talk just one more influence, like as far as your voice goes, because you have such a unique beautiful voice. I don't even know how to describe it, but it's like, I don't know, it's pure. It's like so sharp and like laser beam. I remember seeing a video of you at the Taste of Westmont, you know, very big deal venue, like 10 years ago or something, and you were singing Barracuda, and I was like, who is this girl? It's before I met you.
Yeah.
And that's like such a crazy hard song to sing. Like what, you know, I don't know if it's a person or like a feeling, like what influences your voice, would you say? And that's a very abstract question, I guess.
Yeah, I'm just gonna interpret it like
go for
however
it. Yeah,
do it.
Yeah.
Well, probably my earlier influence, probably my earliest influence was probably Christina Aguilera.
Okay,
but
why her? What's, is it her tude? Is it her delivery?
She can belt.
Yeah,
and so that, I was just into that as like a 10-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm singing, I'm just trying to like convey whatever emotion that is in the song. Mm-hmm. And I'm like feeling it pretty much, and like I always am relating it to like what I'm really going through.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. And that's how you make it happen, kids. Thank you, Elaine, that was awesome.
Thanks.
Moving on, Andy.
Yes.
Number one influence.
I would have to say This Town Needs Guns, which is an awesome math rock band.
Cool. Okay, so now we get the math rock influence.
Yeah.
We had the teenage melancholy mediocre thing. Moving along to math rock. Tell me what math rock is for the maybe unrefined listener. I love you all listeners. I know you're all very refined. For me. I don't know.
Well, This Town Needs Guns specifically, they're like, I feel like they're hugely influential to like math rock in general, but they're like, you could also describe them as like emo, I guess, but mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of math rock has like elements of emo music, but like lots of odd time signatures and weird rhythms and like twinkly guitar parts, like with like
cool.
a lot of finger picking and things like that.
And that's probably
tapping.
Yeah.
Totally. And that's probably where you get into it.
Yeah.
What was your first like math rock experience, like listening to it, and did it like, were you kind of like, whoa, what's this? Was it like that obvious to you that this was a different kind of subgenre, or was it more subtle and you just liked the feel?
I remember, because Kevin was really into math rock when I was like
I
way younger.
Uh-huh.
And he showed me this band called Tube Lord. And at the time, I like did not like it at all. I was like, why can't they just like play it normally?
Yeah, four times signature here, people.
Just play the right notes.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, that I was probably like 12 when he showed it to me, and I just like wasn't into it because all I liked was like Eric Clapton.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I don't know.
AKA
like
your dad, because he looks a lot like Eric.
Yeah, right. But I don't know. Probably like 4 or 5 years ago, I like revisited a lot of that stuff, and I was like, man, this is actually really cool. And I just like got super into it, and the guitar parts were so interesting to me. Like,
yeah.
So different than, like, if you were to compare that to, like, Eric Clapton or, like, you know, other blues and like,
right.
rock guitars.
Which is what,
like,
you were kind of brought up playing, at least, was the blues guitar, rock and roll.
Right.
So this is a whole different kind of challenge. I bet you saw it as, like, I want to figure this out.
Right.
Because I've already gotten good at the other stuff, right? And then you're like, let's put some math in there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, like, almost like a whole new instrument. Because a lot of those guys, like, you know, just, like Eric said, a lot of like the finger tapping, which you never see in like blues music.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just a bunch of new techniques that are really cool.
Totally. Like what? What? Tell me about some of them.
Well, like, I don't know, like the finger tapping, for example, or
so
just
that's
like,
where you just like put your finger on the string really hard.
Yeah. It's like, like using both your hands on the fretboard and using like all hammer-ons and things like that.
Oh,
hammers
cool.
and pull-offs.
Yeah, but, for sure.
Yeah. I don't know. And lots of cool like finger picking kind of stuff.
But. And okay, so then when we're talking about like this particular band, which they were called
This Town Needs Guns.
What like did you draw from them besides like different time signature, different sound? Is it like lyrically, do they inspire you at all, or is it mostly the sound?
I don't know, not really lyrically. Like I really like their songwriting a lot. I'd say that their songwriting has like inspired me a lot, as like as well as their guitar
what
playing.
What sets it apart from like any other typical math rock band? I'm asking the hard question.
I don't really know.
Does it seem like they wrote it? They wrote the instrumentation first?
Yeah.
Is that like kind of what's
I got that vibe from it.
And like definitely, yeah.
All of the like everybody in the band is just like supremely talented mm-hmm. with their instrument.
And sounds kind of familiar.
But it's just a lot of fun to listen to and like really exciting music.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. And how about let's talk about like your sound on the guitar. And I kind of touched on the fact that you kind of grew up playing like bluesier stuff.
Right.
What do you like? What brings you so much pleasure about? I mean, you play guitar what every day, like as much as you can. Or is it more a chore now? What's the?
I don't know. I like.
Or is it depend?
I used to play for like several hours a day.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. There was a time where I like got burnt out on it a little bit and like didn't
totally.
Really play very much for a few years. But I don't know. Lately.
Math rock like reignited it though.
Kind of, yeah,
great.
For sure. Just like something totally different and a new way to look at guitar,
mm-hmm.
which helped a lot. And it was like a whole new style to practice and learn.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. I'm playing a lot more guitar these days, which is cool. But I don't know, not every day. But I try to find time like a few hours a week.
Do you see it as like a self, like a journaling thing, like it's like a reflective time, or is it more like a learning, like I don't know, working kind of vibe, or does it kind of depend on the mood?
Yeah, I'd say it depends. Like sometimes
you're like I have to learn this or yeah, I have to write
like,
this
mm-hmm, like or if I come across a song that I think is really cool, like throughout the day I'll like just be waiting to go home and play guitar and
yeah.
try to like come up with something
totally.
Kind of like it or learn it or
yeah.
whatever. But I don't know. It's definitely, I would think of it as like kind of like a journaling type thing.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And just I've got like tons of voice memos on my phone of just like quick ideas that I just like unplugged acoustic.
How many
or
of
unplugged
those
electric guitar
out of like 100 ideas like that on a voice memo or whatever? How many turn into songs? Would you say 1 in 100, or 1 in 20, or is it more just kind of foundational? Little ditties that you can then throw into.
It's kind of more like that.
Okay.
Like I don't know. I'll
like ingredients.
Yeah. Like there have been quite a few songs that we've had that like I don't know. We get stuck and there's like a part missing. And I'm like, well, let me just look through my voice memos and see if there's something in the
yes.
same key.
That's great.
Sick parts in A.
Yeah. That's cool. It's kind of like a puzzle.
But,
and
yeah.
I think like math rock, that is like the point. It's like a puzzle. It's like there's so many different time signatures or whatever, and you want to fit them all in.
Yeah.
What? Well, we'll get there because I want to talk about more like the feeling, because there's like a total like build, like release. I don't
mm-hmm.
know when I feel when I see you guys play, but we'll talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on then. That was great. Thank you so much, Eric. What's up? What's your influence for today?
I guess if I had to pick one, I'm like a huge Radiohead fan.
Cool.
Love it. And I think I could speak for all of us. We're all pretty big Radiohead fans, yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Hate them. No, I'm kidding.
Formative band.
Yeah.
What was your first Radiohead experience? What album like do you cite as like the gateway drug?
Well, I think for, you know, me, it was, you know, like a lot of people, OK Computer.
For sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, totally.
Huge.
Why that one specifically?
I don't know.
Talk
I
about
think like
melancholy.
I don't know. Like I think it was just very accessible at the time. You know what I mean? Like because some of it gets kind of, you know, if it's your first experience with Radiohead, it's a little bit like, what am I listening to?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
yeah.
Like OK Computer, there's some very straightforward, you know, like good rock songs on there. So you
yeah,
know, I think the first song I heard was Karma Police, and I was just like, this is amazing.
Yeah,
love this.
It is. No, totally. So do you think? I mean, and. Talking about your sound as Forest Home, you also kind of, it's cool because it's not one thing. Like you have several different hats that you wear. So there you have straightforward kind of more rock and roll
yeah.
sound, but then also you've got this math rock and you've got some, you know, more experimental stuff. And do you think that you personally gleaned a lot of that kind of balance or mix from Radiohead?
Yeah, I would say like.
And why?
That's
like, are you trying to like be accessible but also inaccessible? Or is it kind of like different like emotional states that define those when you're writing those songs?
Yeah, like definitely I try to, you know, keep it kind of accessible, you know, like if I can.
You're
but
not like Sun.
Yeah, like sometimes it gets a little crazy, you know,
yeah.
And I'm just like, wow, I don't know if anyone's gonna like this but me, you know. So
I
you
mean
know,
that's
but,
this podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. I know that y'all's families will like this.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's totally legit. And so who's like your favorite member of Radiohead?
I don't know, probably Tom.
Okay.
You
yeah.
know,
Classic answer.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it wouldn't be Radiohead without
right,
Mr. Tom.
Heart and soul of that band.
Absolutely, you know? Yeah. So let's talk about your live performances a little bit. Have you ever seen Radiohead live, first of all?
I'm sorry?
Have you seen Radiohead live?
No, but no. I know they're coming into town.
Yeah.
And I got to get to that show.
Yeah.
I don't know. If
dang.
It's...
Aren't tickets like on sale? This is maybe an off-mic conversation.
I'm missing out on it right now.
Sweet, sweet. You got freebies for
freebies.
All of us?
Oh, yeah. Awesome. We're all going. Backstage cool. passes, baby. Oh, God, that's a dream. That'll happen someday. But no, okay, so you haven't seen Radiohead, but like, do you feel like you kind of encapsulate them while you perform? What's your performance style, Eric? You just kind of like get up there and
yeah,
play
pretty
and
much just like just go for it, you know.
Totally.
Honestly, I have no idea.
Just, I mean, try to
play the music, right. I guess. And,
try
know.
Not to mess up.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
That's the number one thing.
Yeah,
for sure. How frequently you guys like practice, rehearse?
Oh God.
Well, it's been very off and on because we've been recording. Mostly, we've been using our practice time to record.
Totally.
When we're like actually practicing on the regular, which we're starting to do again now, it's usually like every week.
Okay.
Something like that.
And are those like pretty collaborative, or is it kind of like every week a different person leads them? I don't really know how band practices work.
It's like, I don't know. Usually we follow a set list.
Yeah, uh-huh. From like a past show or something, and we'll run through that set.
Okay.
Like,
if the song sounds bad, we do it again.
I would say like it's pretty democratic though, as far
that's
as
good.
Like the way
yeah.
that
there's
it's
not
gone.
Like real.
Yeah.
A-hole yeah. present. Or, Kevin's pointing to himself. It's hilarious. Okay, yeah, very cool. I mean, it must be cool to be, like, part of a band. Is there, like, a lot of creative, like, indifference? Do you guys mesh pretty well on things? I mean, there's, like, lots of different influences as we're determining, but... Generally, when you're writing a song, it's like one person has an idea for the song, and then do they like pass it along to another person who comes up with the instrumentation for that, or are they kind of like, no, this is how it's going to go?
It's kind of been like we've used multiple different techniques for writing songs, because there have been a handful of times where Andy and Eric will get together and sort of hash out the backbone of a song and mm-hmm. then come share that with the group. Or there have been a couple of songs where we're all together at practice and someone had sort of the seed of
yeah.
the song and we've hashed it out together. And other times, like, someone will show up at practice and be like, I wrote this whole song this week, here's how it goes.
Yeah, I want you to play like this and play this part like that.
Sure. Yeah.
And is there one way that you guys prefer, or is it kind of like,
I mean, I kind of like all of them for different reasons, because I think that when you have more sort of cloistered songwriting, like someone just doing it on their own, more of their individual songwriting voice comes through.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you've got us all together as a group, it's sort of like this, it can be sort of a cool amalgam
yeah,
of all
absolutely.
Of our voices, literal and
yeah,
metaphorical.
Totally.
Yeah.
There's this band, Brockhampton. I needed to do that. I'm not going to go there. But well, I will. And just that it's like extreme collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I totally see that when I see you guys live. They're it's like different. I mean, yeah, literally different voices, which is so cool and so rare that like all four of you sing. I love that. And Kevin, the singing drummer. Well, do you exclusively play drums, or you kind of switch? You all kind of switch back and forth, too,
yeah,
which is fun.
Yeah.
But let's get to you. Your influence
sure.
here.
I
can guess it. Can I guess it?
Yeah.
Pine Grove.
Not anymore.
I'm not even gonna go there.
did you fall out of love with them?
No.
It's a long
we can
story.
We can talk about it some other time. It's okay.
Not interesting to the rest of
you. No, yeah. It's fine.
Because
they definitely have been a huge influence on my songwriting. However, I would say probably an even greater influence to my playing overall, both on guitar and drums, whatever mm-hmm. instrument I'm playing, is Slater Kinney.
Okay, cool.
Because everything about that band, Slater Kinney is probably my favorite band of all time.
Tell people about them if they don't.
Sure.
Know.
Slater Kinney is a sort of riot girl band started in the early 90s in the Pacific Northwest. They
released only good albums ever. Got better
awesome.
With every single
That's
album
to aspire to.
And it's, you know, it's all very varying shades of personal and political and God, the entire emotional spectrum. And the reason that I sort of was drawn to them initially and why they're my greatest influence for music is I had never, when I first found out about them, I was probably like, I was 18, I think. And my sister actually played me their album, The Woods, in the car. And I was like, who is this? Because that album is incredible. And I was hooked immediately because at the time, I sort of never really listened to music as catharsis. Mm-hmm. Like, I only listened to music that was like soft and pretty for the most part.
Yeah.
And I only really took it that way. Like, I listened to Radiohead, and there's certainly like some cathartic,
but
there's emotional
like
stuff.
But it's mostly like an ambiance, like aesthetic kind of thing.
Right. Where I was like listening to Slater Kinney, I was like, whoa, they're working it out.
Totally.
Like,
yeah.
That's like some real stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's like, even outside of like how the members of that band play their instruments and how they write songs, like that alone really influenced how I write music. I mean, aside from the fact that, like, Janet Weiss is my favorite drummer of all time.
Right.
Drum idol.
Let's talk about that, then. Why?
Sure.
Why her?
Because she writes beats that you can, like, bang your head against. They are so solid.
Yeah.
And is so tasteful. In every, like, it's crazy. Like, she's an extremely technically proficient drummer, but knows exactly the times to let loose, exactly the times to like
tighten
lay down
up.
A groove.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, seriously, all-time top drum idols for me.
That's awesome. Yeah, very cool. And so, okay, so then you do a lot of you when you sang, you're very it's a and it's funny because like you and I used to sing together.
Yeah.
And you've grown, like seeing you grow as a vocalist is pretty cool. But you scream. I mean, not scream, it's not like screamo,
yeah.
But
yeah.
It's you're in it. And where, how do you, what is that? Is that just like, is that always thematically like in the lyrics as well, or is it more of a punch, you know, just of like, hey, I can sing really loud?
It's definitely always like, I don't go there unless I
Me
have
too.
The lyrical
yeah.
or conceptual content to back up
for sure
that, because there's only a couple songs where I really am pushing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's definitely...
How does it feel to do that?
Oh, it feels amazing.
Yeah? Like, on stage? Like, is it more fun to do it on stage or more fun to do it on recording?
On stage, for sure.
Yeah.
Recording is sort of bound up in this, like, it's a little bit of a nervous energy because you want to, like, get a good take.
Yeah.
And sure represents the song.
And it's, like, really quiet in there. And you're, like, screaming.
And no one else is making any noise.
Yeah, we're just sitting there
just looking
listening.
At you, like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But, like, you feel like when you're on stage, you're really, like... Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. And it's like, I had never really considered doing that sort of thing with my voice until I listened to folks like Slater Kinney.
Mm-hmm.
And Slater Kinney sent me down this whole sort of like more, I don't want to say like aggressive music, but like loud music route.
Right.
Where I had been listening to like, you know,
the Shins.
Yeah. Like Twee.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Which I still like love. But
yeah, for sure.
I never got into, I wouldn't have gotten into punk music mm-hmm. had I not gotten into Slater Kinney.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, for sure.
Isn't it cool how there's just so many different types of genres, and then like we all like so many different types of things, and I don't know, it like defines your life, but then like, I don't know. I don't know if you guys do this, but like I do this thing where I listen to like the same album for like 3 months.
Yeah,
yeah, totally.
And so then it's kind of beautiful, like going back and thinking, like, man, junior year of high school, I was listening to, you know,
exactly,
whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know, Jesus Christ Superstar on vinyl a lot. Karen Nielsen, like, but you know, but then it's kind of like a fragrance. And I've talked about this before, but like, you know, I think of high school and I think of like Princess by Vera Wang, which is my choice mm-hmm. of perfume.
Yeah,
it's just like this total sensory thing. So. Do you like what's everyone's thing that they like? They'll go back, they'll go on their old iPod or they're on Spotify or whatever, and they'll just be like, "Holy crap, I haven't heard this in like so long." Do you guys all have one of those that you want to like throw out there that's like kind of an influence, but then like maybe we wouldn't know about it by listening to Forest Home?
Well, the first one that comes to my mind is the band Y.
That's mine.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's mine too.
Can't take it.
I was thinking about, serious? I mean, yeah, actually.
There were probably like, I don't know, probably like a year and a half stretch where I like did not even care about any music besides Y.
And then when you're listening to Y, so basically Y is, you know, kind of a weird hip hoppy indie band.
Yeah, we're going to see them on Sunday.
Ah, oh, nice. Oh wait.
Oh, you invited me to that. You
Did
should
I?
Come. Yeah.
Wait, next Sunday?
Yeah, it's in a week.
It's the Oscars, bruh.
Oh, you shouldn't have invited me then.
I invited you.
Yeah, you both so nice.
Oh, of course I did. So they do like a little rap and a little singing. But the first time I heard Y, and I'm sure some of you had this experience, I hated it. I was like,
really?
This voice, you know, is just kind of like nasally. And
yeah, Andy had to convince me.
Yeah.
Like he tried so long.
But why? And why are they not even a guilty pleasure, but like they're not super influential, maybe instrumentally or whatever for you.
Right.
But is there some kind of feeling that you kind of get from them or?
Well, the first album that I listened to by them was Alopecia, and that one in particular to me is just every song is. I don't know. It's just really exciting and like, I don't know, like OK Computer by Radiohead. Like it's just super accessible compared to some of their other stuff.
Right.
But and like really catchy songs. And Yoni Wolf is probably my favorite lyricist ever. His lyrics are like amazing. I could
so
just like
out there.
Read them. And,
and so how would you say, I mean, they're just so they are real. Like they just feel it's like a day in the life kind of thing.
But it's like a diary.
It is a diary. Yeah. Absolutely. I wish I could. I'm trying to think of one that's not like super dirty right now.
Yeah.
Something about Puerto Rican.
The first one that comes to mind is the one where he's talking about riding behind his presumably ex-girlfriend's moving van on his Fixie. And she's pretending that she didn't see him. And he's writing a song about how he knows he saw her and is pretending that she didn't see him.
Yeah. What song is that? Yeah, sing it.
On my Fixie with the chopped horns turned in, trailing behind your biodiesel bend.
Oh, why sing along?
Don't pretend you didn't see me coming around the bend.
Let's start a Y cover band
called. Make it a bluegrass cover.
Why not?
Why not?
Oh my God, bluegrass. That'd be amazing. So that's a good one. Yeah, definitely like wouldn't expect them, you know, if you heard a Y song and then you heard an Azza song, you wouldn't necessarily. Sorry, Forrest Home.
No, that's okay.
I mean, I actually think that there's a lot about their rhythm section that
because
like Josiah Wolf, when he's playing drums for that band, he uses like all these wacky polyrhythms and stuff, and that is something that as a drummer for Forest Home I definitely keep in mind. Is I'm like, I could play this in straight four, or I could play this in a weird subdivision of like triplets or something
which
else,
which would sound like
playing something in 12/8 instead of 4/4, so instead of 1 2 3 4 it's like 1 2 3 2 2 3 3 2 3 4 2 3.
Okay, cool.
So like it just has a different rhythmic feel,
right?
And that's something that Y does a lot.
Yeah, they do like a lot of breakdowns with like that kind of thing. I can like,
and so that sort of thing is something that sort of plays into the mathiness
for
of what we do.
Yeah, for sure.
Otherwise, yeah, we don't rap in 4/4 generally.
Not yet. How about you, Eric? What's your kind of like random influence that you'd throw out there?
I guess I'll...
No
I'll
judgment.
Just, yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of something that wouldn't get me judged a little bit.
No, that's
I got
what
a good one
for.
That I know is that I know you like.
All right,
too.
Hit me.
Incubus.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Totally.
No huge, judgment. I'm huge, a super...
Huge Incubus
super
fan
here.
From back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, early high school, it was all about Incubus.
I could see that, too. Like, it, not... I don't want to call them emo, but, like, yeah, you know, you got...
Yeah, I mean, that was another one, too. Probably a lot of emo and pop punk.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, for
you
sure.
Kind of, yeah, brand new.
What's your favorite, like, Incubus song?
My favorite Incubus song?
Or album?
Probably Morning View. Yeah, Morning View. Keep it real simple.
Is that the one at the end with the frog song?
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Aqueous Transmission,
do,
yeah.
Do-do-do-do-do.
It's a good song.
Oh,
it's
such a great good song,
yeah.
I'm floating down a river. Oh, God. It's all coming back. That is exactly what I was looking for, because it's like that I go on my iPod or iPhone and I'm like, Incubus, and then I'm back in eighth grade, you know.
You almost get like a visual of like
totally
I don't know, where you see yourself listening to that song
right.
in the past.
Yeah. I remember actually listening to it driving up north, like, in, you know, on my Walkman. I had my, like, CD player. And, yeah, it's crazy. I love mm-hmm. music for that. I mean, for many reasons, but that one especially. Elaine, let's pick another besides Why.
Okay.
What do you love to like sing along to in the car? Like, I'm a Joni Mitchell. Like,
Andy,
I'll
can you just
put on
like,
Joni Mitchell
and
just
and,
yeah. There you go.
Let's see.
That'll be my answer.
Like, when we're riding in the car a lot, there's a lot of Beyonce.
Okay. Cool.
Alicia Keys.
Yeah.
Mariah Carey.
Okay. Let's unpack. So, what Beyonce? Like, what era?
Destiny's Child.
Oh, okay. Old
I just
Beyonce.
Try to practice runs.
Yeah, for sure.
Time.
Yeah.
But
let's hear
not
one.
Really a throwback.
Oh. I want to hear one.
Oh no!
What have you been practicing lately? I'll do one if you do one.
Okay.
I don't
even
know what a run is.
You go first. That's not a run.
You should sing Fergie's rendition of the national.
Oh my
anthem.
God!
Oh my
there
God!
Go.
So funny. She didn't do any runs in that song.
Wait, that was so bad, right?
I know.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, we all sing it now. Like we have
like her
memorized.
Version of it.
Yeah. Yeah,
let's hear it all of it together. I'm serious.
I'll do just the first line.
Okay.
Oh, say. Like that.
Can you see?
She was so weird. What was the weirdest? Out of all of it. I love the basketball players. Like,
yeah, just
face.
Cracking yeah. up. Mm-hmm. I liked her hand motions. I don't know.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
They were pretty funny.
really punching up that purple.
No, yeah.
Where? Yeah, that's something. So not an influence. I'm going to go. I'm all about Fergalicious.
Yeah,
so.
I used to listen to the Shins a lot.
Yeah,
when I was younger.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that brings
that
me back
brings
to
me back. Yeah.
High school.
Yeah, we were all like very,
we
very into
them.
That.
We're
kind
very
of
young.
Like
yeah,
indie music.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like with that like folky kind
yeah.
of.
Yeah,
yeah.
Totally. Like Andrew Bird, we were all really
super,
into that.
You're right. Totally, like kind of like mystical, like or quirky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have Andrew Bird.
A little
what
weird.
Yeah,
I refuse to use past tense in my enjoyment.
No, I am still. Oh, for sure, I'm constant. I mean,
it was a hard.
Fire.
Yeah, it was a hard so choice to not pick him for my influence.
Yeah,
honestly.
For sure. Well, then why don't you talk about him now?
I mean, Andrew Bird is probably like the reason that I between Andrew Bird and like Stephen Malkmus, those mm-hmm. two dudes are like the reason I understood that like I could write a song even
yeah.
in a hypothetical sense
because cool.
I'm like Andrew Bird's just playing with words,
right?
Would you say he's a singing influence?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would
think so. And a whistling influence.
I think that...
There you go.
I think that, like...
Is Andrew Bird here?
No, just regular Bird. So, I for sure a singing influence, because I think that when I was learning how to sing, you know, in my car with no one listening, I was uh-huh. only listening to Andrew Bird.
Yeah.
So, that definitely is a singing influence for me. But, like... Stephen Malkmus and Andrew Bird wrote songs that weren't necessarily like for emotional impact, like solo era Stephen Malkmus, like his first solo album. I'm like, this song's not about anything.
Yeah.
I didn't know I could do that. Like,
yeah.
It's just,
yeah,
it's just fun.
I mean, yeah.
Basically, anything Andrew Bird before the most recent album is just kind of like, okay, that's
yeah,
quirky
sure.
And
I remember
cute.
His, like the song
my
on his most recent
is.
Album, like
yeah,
about talking about like, you know, having his hypothetical child end up in the hospital
oh my God,
or something.
Yeah.
I was like, this is way
what?
More emotional depth than
yeah,
I signed up
that was
for.
A good
oh
album.
My God, right?
It is a good
it's
album.
A great album, yeah. but totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you wonder what the, well, I guess maybe that's the shift is like shit's happening with his kid.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, yeah, because I know he got married and he moved to LA and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, right.
If his Wikipedia is to be believed.
Yes, yes, I think it is. We can,
anybody
we
can edit that. Even him.
I just needed to say he moved to Antarctica. Okay, let's talk about your shared influence then.
Yeah.
One, two, wait, I'm just going to count to three and then you all say something. And I'm just curious because, like, what if it's all the same thing? That'd be cool.
Yeah.
So, like, tap into your telepathic thing right now.
Okay.
And ready? I'm going to count. I'll count.
Have one.
I don't have
on
any.
Okay, okay, think about it. Think
on
about
three
it.
Or on go?
On go. On go. 3, 2, 1. Okay, no, but not. That was just me counting it.
Sure.
But like, not,
sure.
Ready? Do you have one?
I mean.
Even if it's funny.
I have one in mind.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Because you guys didn't plan this fifth influence.
We did loosely talk about it, so I have the feeling I'm on the same page as Andy. But
okay, well, Eric and Elaine.
I'm so lost on that one.
Okay, I got one.
Alert something out.
Okay, ready? Yeah. Three, two, one, go.
Beethoven. The Beatles.
Okay, yeah.
What did you say? I said Typhoon.
Oh, yeah.
That right at the beginning.
That's true. That's like, I didn't even think about that. For sure.
Okay, so I heard the Beatles somewhere.
Yeah, that was me.
Uh-huh, that's a good one. I was listening to a lot of Beatles today. It's the 50th anniversary of Sgt. Pepper Lonely Hearts Club Band getting some Grammys today.
Cool. Wowza.
That's obscure.
What did you say, Elaine?
Beethoven.
Yeah, that's like the movie with the dog.
It has a really good soundtrack.
It does, yeah. Does it? I don't know. I love that movie.
It's got a lot of Beethoven in there.
Oh, yeah. And weirdly a lot of Bach. How about you, Kevin? What did you say?
I said Weezer.
Oh.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and I think that when we first started writing songs together, we gravitated towards that power pop sound a lot more than we do now. Because
sure.
I literally used to describe what we do as Weezer and Odd Time.
Yeah.
I still think that we get a lot of comparisons, you know? A lot of people like to compare us to Weezer when they hear
our first few shows, like, people would just be like, you guys sound just like Weezer, but Odd Time signature is all over the place.
I will not forget our first sound check ever. One of the people from the other bands literally shouted out Weezer when we were done with our
because we were all like wearing the same exact pair of glasses.
Yeah.
And
just like Black Buddy Holly.
Band. Yeah. Okay. Ooh, you.
Wow. That's hilarious. Okay, cool. So let's talk about this album again. Like unpack it a little bit. Wastement. We're getting toward the end of our time together. Mm-hmm. I turned off the timer, so I don't know. I think we got all the influences in, which is amazing. It usually takes us way longer than this for one person, so you guys were like... But that's the thing about a band. You know when to shine and then step out of the spotlight, or you're just all in it together.
Yeah, there you go.
But wastement, is that a word, or is that just like basement with a W?
I think it is a word. It doesn't really, like, I think it has to do with, like...
I'm going to look it up.
I'm going to look it up.
Like, water
look
treatment
up,
or something.
Scotty, look it
like
up.
Like, wastement being, like
well,
catchment.
Well, if it
I
is a
know.
Word, I don't think that... It,
waste management.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got nothing to do with our That's album, a, if it is a
yeah.
word.
Yeah.
We picked it because it's sort of like a portmanteau of a whole bunch of different words.
Okay, which one?
What if it means something horrible?
It's Let's too late. It's out in the world.
It's not a word.
Cool.
Jerry Wastement is from the Yo-Yo New Mixed Old School Facebook.
Wow. Okay. Cool. I'll have to write him a cease and desist.
Yeah. Excuse me, sir.
But yeah, I mean, we were sort of pulling from both Basement and Waste and Westmont, which is where at least three of us are from. And it's where we practice now.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of like, because the waste for me was a little bit because of how long this album took, which is a little bit of a sly dig at my own album. But like,
that's okay. It's your first album.
Yeah. No, but it was because we were learning to do it as we were doing it, there was a lot of waste. There was a lot of takes that didn't get used because I set up the mics wrong.
Yeah.
Like that sort of thing.
Yeah. Rookie errors. As
yeah,
we
for
those.
Sure.
But hey,
yeah.
but that's what you got to do. I mean, and like, even with, you know, and with anything, that's you learn from failure and you learn from messing it up, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you wouldn't have, like, would you have just gone with those first takes? No, never.
No, and
right?
it's one of those things where, like, that the more that we sat with that album name, at least speaking for myself, the more it felt like the right call because it had gotten to a point where that sort of, like, it's fine. We'll just retake it.
Yeah.
Attitude
right.
sort of is ingrained a little bit into like the, not quite the songwriting, but it's sort of like the redoing until we get it right is sort of baked into the sound of the album.
And that's life.
Yeah.
Redo it until you get it right. Hey, that's pretty good. We should make that like the slogan of life.
There you go. Life needs good PR.
It does. It really does. I've been needing a spin doctor.
Let's rebrand it.
Let's do that. Okay, thematically speaking, are we love? Are we lust? Are we political? Are we talking about things that Andrew Bird talked about?
Well, I mean, like, I think it's sort of, it is a little bit scattered because we all contributed songwriting to
totally.
It. However, there are some lyrical themes that are sort of maintained throughout. I think that they are fairly relatable,
mm-hmm.
like 20-somethings lyrical themes.
Totally.
I think, like, you know, big changes in your life is probably like the biggest lyrical thing on this album.
Sure.
And sort of change in general.
And then you change the time signature.
Yeah,
literal change.
That's the only reason why, too.
Yeah. just once you get into your 30s, you're going to be like, nah, we'll go back to 4-4.
4-4, yeah.
All the way.
Uh-huh.
Always in G. yeah, that's cool. That's really cool. What do you guys have anything else to say about the album, about shows coming up? Or you're going to have an album release party.
We are.
March 24th.
Yeah, Saturday, March 24th at Sub T. We have... we're sharing the bill with like absolutely incredible bands. I cannot wait to play
like all of our like favorite local music.
Oh, heck yeah.
We're super excited about it.
And including a very awesome alum of this show, Mr. Dan Durley.
Of course.
Who is in a new cover band that I just saw called Hitman, which highly recommended. They all have like code names for each other.
Oh,
so they're
awesome.
Like Hitney Spears and Hitney Houston and Hit Romney, Hit Jonas. It's great.
That's great. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's going to be so fun.
Yeah.
March 24th.
We're super excited.
But the album, does it come out before then or is it then?
No, it actually comes out on that day.
Oh, wow. Okay. You know. So we've got a month to get excited.
Yes.
Well, actually just under a month by the time this comes out. How are you feeling about it? Are you like nervous to get it out there or are you just kind of like, oh, come on.
I can't wait. Yeah. I don't know. I'm a little bit nervous, I guess, just because this is our like first thing that we've put out and we spent so long on it.
Oh my God. And you're so excited. But, and you've like every day you've listened to it. And so you're like, that's a whole thing of like, what will people think? But then it's kind of like, I was thinking about this the other day. It's like, you know, it's not yours anymore once you put it out.
Right.
Right? It's like the listeners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
It's like a baby.
Definitely like really excited to share it with people. And
yeah.
Hear what people
and be like, hey, we actually did it.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Screw you all non-believers.
I have been so excited for this for so long because like I've been sharing like preliminary mixes of this to people over time trying to like, because I was learning this as I was doing it, and so I would send out these rough mixes to people and be like, what do you think of only the bass on this?
Yeah, totally.
And getting feedback that way, and then eventually, like, we've arrived at this finish line, and we released this single and have that out into the world and gotten, like, some really fantastic feedback on
Great.
It already, and that pumps me up so much, where I don't have to send it to someone and be like, I know the rest of this song sounds like garbage right now, but like, what is only this one part sound like to you?
Now you're like, this is just ignore it if you can.
Yeah.
That's so cool, and it's going to be so rewarding for all of you. I predict that, and it'll feel really good to like play. Are you going to play it like in order that night?
I don't think we can.
No, yeah, because we have some instrument swapping that goes on.
Yes,
but
so. Are you gonna play like 5 songs from it or all 9?
We are gonna play. Are we gonna play every song from this?
Probably
pretty.
I don't think we're gonna play an intro.
We'll have to just like.
I think we should
put it in a slightly different order, like because there are probably 3 songs where I play drums on and Kevin plays guitar and sings,
okay.
And usually like live we lump those all together,
yeah, that
just
makes
so
sense.
There's not like
it's
a,
not like a constant
bunch of walking back
magical
and forth.
Chairs or whatever. What is that called? Magical chairs?
Musical chairs.
Musical chairs.
Sorry, I've been reading a lot of Harry Potter lately.
Is a whole other thing.
Magical chairs sounds really fun. Let's do that.
Yeah.
So okay, yeah, no, it is cool to see you guys switch back and forth. I love that. I mean, I think that sums it up. Like, you're all so supportive of each other. You all bring different things to the table, as we've proven. And you will hear that, particularly on March 24th, when the album drops, and they play their show at Subterranean. Again, the band is Forest Home. The album is Waste Mint, and the date is March 24th. What song are we going to hear now? Single? Or do you want to release an extra one? Just Lisa FM exclusive, no pressure.
I believe we didn't decide this yet.
That's all right.
Yeah, it's up in the air. which is the title of one of the songs.
Okay, well, then let's
but not that one, though.
Not that one.
Do you want to do a 3-2-1 and everyone says song?
Well, we have one song.
Do you want to do that one that's out?
I vote for the releasing one.
Which one does that mean? The one that's not out yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of fun.
I vote for that.
Then it'll force people to listen to this interview the
and
whole way
I think
through.
Andy does as well.
Sure.
I'm down for either one.
No, I'm down with that.
All right, let's talk about it. What's the song called?
A Bummy.
which is how we say it at every practice. It's called above me. Okay. But we, every time, all right, let's pray above me.
Above me. Okay, cool. Where does this come on the album?
It's the last track on the album.
Wow, well, yes. Then that's fitting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And is there anything you want to say about it before while we introduce it? Or who wrote it? Who's singing on it?
Elaine and I wrote this song together.
Aww.
Yeah.
Your boyfriend and girlfriend.
It's not a love song.
Okay.
Not at all.
It's anti-love. I'm just kidding.
This song specifically, though, I think, like, really encapsulates, like, the influences that we talked about before.
Cool.
Like, I don't know. I draw a lot of This Town Needs Guns mm-hmm. influences, and I wrote a lot of the instrumentation in this song, and Elaine wrote the vocal parts.
Cool.
Which, yeah.
Are awesome.
You'll hear my influence.
Okay. Beautiful. And that's what we're here for. Thank you guys so much for joining me. This was a true pleasure. Was this your first official interview?
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
You killed it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It was the second. I'm sorry.
I wasn't going to say
turns
anything.
Turns my...
I just love you. I'm being
deletes
honest.
Tracks. That's all right. This is the first time anyone's hearing Above Me, so...
Very true.
Yes.
That's what I'm all about. All right. So without further ado, here they are on Lease FM, debut of this track, the last track on Wastement, which comes out March 24th, Forest Home, Above Me on Lease FM. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.